All right, good morning, everybody. My name's Eamon Kelly.
My name is William Derry.
And we're going to be talking about the last few chapters of Daryl Huff's How to Lie with Statistics. So as of right now, we are done with the book. So yeah, it's an exciting read. So like, what were your initial thoughts of how the book ended?
Well, the book ending was great. I was excited for us to be finished and for it to come to an end.
Yeah, finally done reading this book. Now I can get some sleep.
Now I can get some sleep in. You know, of course, they ended the book with a photo, a description, and I don't know, I liked how the last two chapters gave us descriptions on how to manipulate the readers, and then also in the last chapter, how to, you know, read between the lines of people trying to manipulate us.
So, like, do you have any examples of reading, of manipulating people?
Yeah, I know the author talked about profit on cost price, also showing a graph with a fixed y-axis. He also talked about showing the scale to show steep growth. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is he talked a lot about, you know, manipulating the data and showing false signs of increase or decrease.
Yeah, I did notice a few patterns in those last two chapters. I especially liked, you know, how the main focus of the last chapter was how to avoid statistical lies, which I thought was pretty interesting. Saying is the book is called How to Lie with Statistics, but the last chapter is How to Avoid It. And I think either they're changing the perspectives to be able to give the readers a chance to how to avoid these lies. I think it's also, you know, like the author is saying, okay, the first eight chapters, these are what they're doing to lie to you. Here's how you can tell that they're lying and how you can avoid it. So I think how they worded that last chapter was very cool. And I think it's also, like I said in the first podcast, I was a bit skeptical about how the book's structure, but the fact that they added this chapter made it really interesting. You know, like, this is what we're doing. Here's how you can avoid it. And also, it made me think, now that we're knowing all this information, I still think that, like, we should be able to tell everybody that you have the right to ask why. You know, if someone's lying to you using statistics, you can, like, well, how does that make sense, or why should I believe that? And then if they can't come up with anything else, they're obviously lying. And then, but yeah, that's basically my thought on those endings. Like, now, like, on a general term, like, were there any, like, moments in the book that you felt, you know, disturbed by, or you felt that you disagreed with the most?
Well, I don't want to say disagree, but of course, I guess, surprised by just the okay name he talked about in the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
With the first question he says, so the first question is, who says so?
Okay.
And he talked about a study about something, but the point of it is they used the Cornell as the research lab, but really, even though they used Cornell as for the data or for backing, it was really the writer's opinion. So I feel like when you see that name, like Cornell University or some type of prestigious university or a prestigious person, that it really, you know, okay, this is definitely right. You know, you're not going to say, oh man, maybe this isn't
like,
true.
Yeah. So Bill Gates said this, it must be true. Like, it's from Cornell University, that must be true.
Yeah.
Well, I've never even been to Cornell. I never even visited the campus, so I have no idea what they're talking about. So, but like, I know that Cornell is an Ivy League school, and so I would imagine that, yeah, if it's from an Ivy League, it must be right. But even though they're attacking Ivy League schools, I can't tell who's right and who's wrong.
And it's not so much that the Ivy League school is wrong. It's just like, okay, the Ivy League school is right, but how is the writer using the information they gave him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it's like, it relates to correlation, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Like, you said you had, like, some sort of, like, theory about correlation. You know, like, the fact that, like, you know, say, for example, like, you remember the John Oliver video we watched in class? Like, we were talking about how two different factors doesn't make any sense when they put together. Like, for example, I did my correlation project in my stats class about films that John Williams scored versus car crashes and how they relate to each other. And I think correlation is the most method I find intriguing. The fact that they can take two unnecessary factors and somehow tie them together using statistical analysis, and it can still sound right. In my opinion, I think that most of it is wrong, but, like, yeah, it just intrigues me the most. That's what I'm saying. And also, you said smoking and bad grades, you said you had?
Yeah, I thought that the example he gave in Chapter 8, the chapter was post-hoc rides again. And he talked about smoking being related to bad grades. But then the question he raised after that was, is it that the smoking was the cause of the bad grades, or was it that the individuals who were getting the bad grades decided to take up smoking? So I feel like that underlying question is really important to think about when you're talking about this situation where people who are seeing if smoking is related to bad grades.
And now, let's take a moment. Now, try to imagine that you've never taken stats yet, and you've heard this smoking versus bad grades. If you were just a normal person on the city, not knowing anything about statistical analysis, would you believe them at first, or like, would you still have enough conscience to ask?
I think that I would be a little in between. Of course, you know, you don't want to think that are you for smoking and that leads to bad grades, but yeah. It would definitely be something that would, I guess, inspire thinking to something else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, what he says is, one of the things is trying to deduce when the data wasn't available. So then you have to think about, okay, well, at one point they weren't smoking. So what were the grades like then?
Mm.
So I guess that would be something I would try to figure out was, okay, if these kids already had bad grades, the smoking's not affecting it. It's just on top. These are just kids who don't have good grades who are smoking.
Yeah.
So, and it could also be the other way where kids who are, you know, are smoking, that could lead to bad grades. But I don't think that I would try to, I think I'll be in the middle and try to figure it out. I wouldn't try to be a pro or con when seeing this.
Yeah, it does seem like it does seem interesting, like how they even get this idea, like, you know, like, hey, let's take smoking and bad grades and somehow take them together, and hopefully no one will question us. Like, they do understand that, like, there are lots of very good debaters in the world, lots of good people in the government that will obviously pinpoint errors and, like, well, how do you know this? And somehow they're still getting away with it. They're still, like, using this stuff to make them sound right, and I think Daryl Huffer is starting to save our lives right now by using this stuff, and also I think that it relates to the first sentence in chapter 7, like, which is, if you can't prove what you want to prove, demonstrate something else and pretend that they're the exact same thing. I think it's like, it sounds like he's saying that if you're having a hard time proving something else, take something completely different and somehow explain it the same way, and hopefully people will believe you. Like, for example, if you were trying to prove, you know, let's say that if you were trying to prove, you know, trying to explain how the body works, but the diagram you're using is not working, you know, talk about the sewer system, and then, like, it sounds similar the way it sounds right now, but, like, it's completely different, but then just explain it using drawings or cartoon shows, and then, like, people will believe you all of a sudden. I think, like, that's, you know what, this book is just making me more fascinated how dumb people are. like using statistics, you know, mimicking the kinds of lies we use in our daily lives. For example, I'm not talking about just using, like using mathematical analysis to prove a point. I'm talking about just simple lives that we use. You know, like, at 6:45, I was over here, and so that means I couldn't have been here. You know, like, it's like you're a detective, mm-hmm. and stuff, and you're solving, it's like solving a murder mystery. And it's like that. I think that this book doesn't necessarily just teach us how to lie with math. It tells us how these lies are similar to lies that all of us perform in our daily lives. Like, would you say so yourself?
Yeah, I would say so. What you're just saying. I think that the book opens up, I think it definitely creates conversation.
Yeah.
After reading this book, you're not going to think about stats or, I guess, people the same way.
Yeah.
Like you're saying about how dumb people are. It's just, it's amazing how stats can be used positively and negatively.
I was paraphrasing. I don't mean
that. No. I know you're
dumb. Yeah. I don't mean that we're all dumb. It just seems like we overlook things a lot in this world. We don't really take the time to, like, stop and look at it. For example, you know, it's like, you know, my father actually, when he goes to the art museum, he actually takes, you know, stops and looks at the paintings and, like, takes a look at how beautiful, you know, how beautiful it is and how much time the artist spent to work on it. You don't, but kids will probably just walk past it and try to find a food court. I just feel like this book doesn't, you know, is telling us that we need to take a few moments and take a look at what we're looking at and make sure it's right, and that will help us be better humans and be able to help us increase our observation skills and to help us make better conclusions based on what we see, rather than just skip forward and look for something more amazing. Yeah, I think that that's the moral of this book that I think true. You know, it really stands out to me. And of course, I just came up with it a few seconds ago. But yeah, like, what do you think are your final thoughts on this book?
Yeah, I think one major takeaway is just being more observant. You know, looking at a graph or looking at a stat or some type of set of data and just questioning it, even though it may have the backing of some type of big name or if it's by some major corporation, or even if it's as it's a simple study, you should still question it and see who's saying this. And you should say, well, does it make sense?
It doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, there's obviously something wrong, and then you should fix it.
Exactly. So you try to, you know, read between the lines, you try to get behind that data. You have to, you know, the first question he raises is, who says so? And then in that, you know, there's bias in who says so. So you have to understand that person's bias, and from there, hopefully you can better understand the data and, you know, not be misled.
Well, it depends on how known the person is, right? Like, you say it's a person that sounds familiar, but you don't really know who he is, and then unless he has a title under it, you know, like, you know, CEO of, I don't know, dog food, CEO of some major corporation, and if it says like that, then you'll believe him, even though you have no idea who this person is, which is really fascinating. All right, I think this should wrap up our definitely last podcast. Had a lot of fun. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to do this in the future. You know, talk about more books, not for a while, but yeah. Had a lot of fun. Any final thoughts?
No, I had a great time. This is fun. I like this.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you guys. I'm Eamon.
My name's Will.
And so thank you for joining us in How to Live Statistics. We will hopefully be back with more interesting reads.